If it picks it up here, that's fine. If it picks it up on the podium.
It should.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand at the podium so we make sure we get the comments on record. And I will start the hearing. My name is it recording?
Yes, it is.
Okay. My name is Dave Glott. I'm director of the Department of Environmental Quality. I will be acting as the hearing officer for this public meeting, public hearing. It is now 10:36 a.m. on February 6th. 2020 at the Department of Environmental Quality Environmental Training Center located in Bismarck, North Dakota. At this time, I open this hearing. The public hearing has been called for the purpose of allowing all interested individuals an opportunity to submit information and comment concerning the proposed new North Dakota Administrative Code Article 33.1-12 Petroleum Tank Release Compensation Fund and Chapter 33.1-12-01 General Fund Provisions. Information gathered at this hearing will be transmitted to the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality Department from here on for its deliberation and final decision. The department will not be responding to comments at this public hearing. The comments received at this hearing will be considered with any written comments that are received. Comments and questions will be addressed by the department in the department memorandum document in writing. You may request a copy of the written response. The response will be provided to you in electronic or written format. This hearing is being taped and we ask everyone to use the podium so that the tape will be of good quality for transcribing purposes. Please identify yourself for the record before you speak. Everyone present will be given an opportunity to speak. If you have a prepared statement, a written copy of your statement is appreciated and will be helpful. A registration sheet has been placed next to the podium. Did you do that?
No.
Okay, you will do that.
I will.
If you have a prepared statement, a written copy of your statement is appreciated. We have a registration sheet. I ask that everyone please sign the sheet before they leave. At this point, I open the hearing for comments. Whoever wants to go first, up the podium, feel free.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'm Carl Ness. I'd like to make a couple comments on the rules, starting specifically with section 33.1-12-01-02, the tank registration. A sentence in there reading, in the event of a petroleum release, no payment will be made to an owner-operator of a registered tank unless the owner-operator complied with all state and federal regulations applicable to the tanks. This sentence, I believe, doesn't give the administrator options to work with mitigating circumstances. The example I have is if a tank system has a release at the piping system over by the dispensers and is required to do a cleanup, and during the investigation that the spill bucket is noticed to be damaged, technically that tank system is out of compliance and according to this rule would have to be denied. I think there should be some language in here indicating that there's be some variability in that section. I just came up with the verbiage maybe in regard to the cause of the release or something like that. On the other section, just some small things. I really do like the graduated system on payment. In 33.1-12-01-03 registration fees, section 5A, actually B, the age of the tank system. One thing to realize is that there's two major components to a tank system: the tanks themselves and the piping. And if the piping is upgraded years after the tank system, is that going to be taken into account? The other item I have is in table 3, it just has the volume of the tank. I believe in the tank rules there are a couple ways to refers to the volume. I would suggest gross volume. That are my comments. Thank you.
Carl.
Yep.
You represent yourself?
Myself, yep, citizen.
And on the, where it says all state federal regulations, just for clarification, you're saying that that's too structured and doesn't allow for extenuating circumstances, so you would recommend some type of variance?
Correct. Be able to work with that process for the administrator to be able to utilize either historical precedents or setting precedents, that type of thing.
Do you have any suggestion on any language that they say?
Well, I was just sitting here, you know, like in regards to the cause of the release, or, you know, in regards to the current situation or something like that. Because if, like I said, if the spill bucket's damaged, it had nothing to do with the piping release. I mean, if the piping system was actually in compliance according to the regulations and something happened due to an accident or something, that should be the area that should be reviewed for compliance. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Attention.
No, I couldn't keep you away.
For the record, Matt Bjornson, Bjornson Oil from Cavalier, North Dakota. And my comments are on behalf of myself and the company that I own part of. First, being it's top of mind, I can agree with what Carl's saying when it comes to some leeway, but I think you need to be extremely careful. I mean, if there was a violation that had nothing to do with the discharge, that's one thing. If it's a violation on the components or the system that leaked, so it's a violation on leak detection, functioning leak detection, you don't want to have too wide a door for people, because in the end, some of the precedent from years past, I mean, being on the tank fund, I can tell you a lot of times leaks were just cleaned up. The addressing of the immediate problem that has been the priority, and there has been there, it would be good if there was more effort put into post-mortem trying to figure out what caused the leak, and maybe we could prevent some. I do have a comment as a tank fund board member, something for your legal team to maybe consider. When we submit to the Department of Health our annual compliance documentation, we receive back a document that says certificate of compliance. Okay. And I have a question, if we have somebody with a tank that has a certificate of compliance, but yet the tank fund discovers that they weren't fully in compliance, do we have a legal problem there? Should that certificate say conditional certificate of compliance? Should it say subject to audit and verification? Because a lot of the stuff that we send in as tank owners is done electronically. And then sometimes there's questions from the department for things missing. Sometimes there's not. But to have a document that says certificate of compliance in hand, when maybe you're not in compliance, maybe you claimed compliance. I'd like to bring that up for, maybe we could avoid a problem down the road. I did provide written comments, and I'd like to just highlight a couple things. Number one is the level of the fee that we're charging. It is extremely low. It is way less than private insurance would ever consider giving the kind of coverage we do give. And for best management practices to have an incentive financially to an owner, we're going to have to start at a monetary amount that ends up in some real dollars being saved. So if we're going to have a modifier of, say, 0.75 for doing whatever, something better, if it's only $25 and it costs $20,000 to do that modifier, there's not a great incentive there. I'd like to, and this goes back to what Carl said, which was a very valid point. The way we currently are structured in categories, I firmly believe that it's a mistake to have the system lumped together, because best management practices for tanks are totally different than for the piping distribution system. So that's why in my written comments I suggested that we expand those categories. In the proposed rules, some of the best management practices actually are requirements. And that's why I tried to point out that, you know, for example, cathodic protection is not a best management practice. If you have a tank that requires cathodic protection, then you have to have cathodic protection, and it needs to be verified. But offering a modifier for cathodic protection on the flip side is not fair to those people that have, say, fiberglass tanks or steel clad tanks that don't require cathodic protection. So there was another one that I noticed, but just in general, I would suggest that we only consider best management practices something that goes above and beyond what is required, and not only that, but goes above and beyond and provides significant protection in mitigating the extent of any leak. And I guess, in summary, I think, to me, personally, I think the biggest dangers to our tank fund at this point are, number one, above ground tanks feeding retail with no leak detection. Number two, sites that have had a significant claim on our fund that continue to operate other infrastructure of the same vintage and quality. And potentially, I mean, we have sites that have literally tapped us for $1 million that continue to use equipment of the same vintage. And there has to be a strong incentive there for that owner to, if he can't afford an upgrade, at least a physical upgrade, to at least upgrade his levels of leak detection. And that technology, you know, is out there, and is and actually functions very well. At our own sites, I've put it in, and there's no better feeling than getting a CSLD report for your tank, continuous statistical leak detection, that says passed continually. And every month, it's great to see that your lines, not just at a 3 gallon per hour leak, but they passed a 0.2. I really think if we can encourage people to adopt that technology, and there are other benefits for tank owners. When you switch from mechanical line leak detection to electronic line leak detection, the number of operational issues, especially in cold weather where the lines get cold, the product contracts, they trip the mechanical leak detector, most of those problems we found are gone when we've made the investment in electronic line leak detection and higher levels of thresholds of leak detection. And I guess finally, when it comes to above ground storage tanks not feeding retail, SPCC plan, if in place, is a good thing. But when it comes, I think it's important to remember that, as I understand it, those rules were put in place to protect navigable water, not necessarily groundwater. And so if we would reward people for not only having containment and berments, impermeable liners, et cetera, double wall tank bottoms, those are the kind of things that we could reward and that should help mitigate us having discharges that don't go into the ditch or the river, but do actually go into the ground. And there are, for those operators, and when I see bulk plants, there's an awful lot of new bulk plants, and they usually do go to that, have a synthetic liner, which is a great thing when it comes to mitigating a leak. So, and then also, I guess in my comments, when it comes to tank age and multipliers, I think we should try to give some consideration to people who have older systems that are willing to go way above and beyond. And I'm talking about if they're willing to hire someone to clean that tank. Let's say it's a steel tank, single wall steel tank. So we already know a single wall steel tank, the cathodic protection is working on the outside because you have to test that every 3 years. But if they're willing to have someone clean that tank, enter that tank, physically inspect that tank for structural and corrosion issues, and make a report, and then intervene if there's something going on, say excessive pitting or whatever, then we should reward them in our rules, I believe, so that there is some financial gain there. And it also will help them in extending the life of their system, and thus, as everyone knows, in a lot of these smaller towns, it would be nice if everybody could put in brand new double wall systems, but they can't. And we'll get to the point in some of these towns, when I drive from Bismarck to Cavalier at night, I better plan my gas, because a lot of the roads I take, there maybe Esmond, I know Esmond has gas, but they have one Senex card troller. I almost ran out of gas west to Esmond once. So it's not only affects the business, but it affects the communities, and we need to have some flexibility for those people.
Just a couple questions. Clarification on the variance. What I'm hearing from you is that it's okay to allow a variance, but if the release resulted from a specific piece of equipment, the variance shouldn't be allowed for that. But if it's something like you didn't have your pumps labeled correctly, it that had nothing really to do with the release,
right? Or maybe Carl's example was good. So we have a leak from a line, and you have a damaged spill bucket. Well, that maybe is. But if you have a leak from a line, that I personally believe that line should be totally in compliance. So that means if they didn't have functioning leak detection, no question. If they had incompatible pipe dope and E15, no question. So, but that's a tough thing to do, to try to envision all the different scenarios. But I mean, technically, Carl is right that if you want to be hard-nosed, somebody could have a leak, and you could say you're in violation of fire code.
I kind of see how that, obviously, we'd be consulting the board on how that would, what an appropriate variance would be.
And, I think years past, I don't remember exact, but, that language in there was something that we as a, maybe not the tank fund board, but maybe the petroleum marketers board talked about. Because at one time there was things going on with this tank fund that way above anybody's pay grade here that was not kosher. And we were getting tired of hearing those stories. Like buying tank insurance after the leak's discovered.
So, and I get your comment on the certificate of compliance. That is sending two messages. And so we have to be clear on what that compliance is. It's a condition compliance based on the information we have. And I like that idea of subject to verification. But
well, you know, and I don't think it's common, but we all know for different rules, for different regulations, it's not in any industry, it's not unheard of to pencil whip up some reports to make a regulator happy. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm not accusing anyone, but I mean, it's just if the fund's gonna write a check for $1 million, we probably should go back and make sure they were doing everything right. Because if they weren't, maybe they should be the ones to write a check for $1 million.
Are you proposing an adjustment in the fee because it's so low, or are you just?
I don't know what that dollar figure should be, but and I think in my written comments, I gave an example just as on this third page of. So, and I were just pulling us out of the air, but, you know, an AST with no piping has way less risk than a double wall tank. A double wall piping system has way less risk than a single wall piping system. So in my example, I said, Whatever it is, you know, some kind of ratio. AST's a $1, double walls, $2, single walls $3,
sure.
And whether that's $100, $200, $300, you know, I'm not a mathematician. I don't know what it should be, but I personally, as someone that writes the checks, it's not a big check.
Sure.
It's relatively cheap. It's the cheapest insurance we buy.
But what I heard is that have the fee established, so if you give credit for BMP, that number is noticeable. So
it's going to add up.
Yeah, so that reduction, so you incentivize BMPs. Beyond, and the BMPs are not what's required, it's practices beyond the regulations.
Right.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, like under AST in my written comments, I suggested a multiplier of 10 for ASTs with feeding retail with no leak detection. So if it was $100 and you're doing that, then it would be, and you know, up, and unless the state can figure out a way to get all those people with functioning leak detection. But I just pulled 10 out of the air. I don't know if 10's the right number. Maybe it's 50.
But the concept is there.
The concept is there. Is it rewards and it penalizes. You know, if BMPs are going to be effective, they have to reward and they have to penalize.
Sure. The last question I had is if somebody's been in the gone from the fund, taken $1 million, but they haven't upgraded their system, are you saying that there should be a higher fee for them, or they shouldn't be allowed to come back to the well again to pull another million if they continue to operate as they have?
You know, the problem is legally, under Ruben's department with the rules that he's allowed to enforce, they are legal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have sites like that. They tapped us for $1 million and they're still using the same infrastructure. And you know, it might be draconian to say you're out of business, but it wouldn't be totally unreasonable to say, you know, you're gonna spend $20,000-$30,000 and put in a modern tank monitor, a modern leak detector, enhanced line leak detection, because that's where your leak was. And if, you know, if you can't, I'm sorry, but you're going to find insurance somewhere else. That's our other problem with this, is they're required to have this insurance. And frankly, there's some of them that it's questionable whether the fund should be insuring them. Private insurance wouldn't. No, I think, you know, for just for the record, for the if there's, it's without a doubt, it's without question, if the fund is not solvent and in place, we're going to have marketers. And I just talked to a gentleman in Iowa that works for their state association 2 weeks ago. Every week he has calls from members because they're buying private insurance, and at age 30, they can't afford the premiums, or the insurance companies tell them they don't want them anymore.
Right.
So there might be a little heartburn over what your department's trying to do here. But if you that, I think you're only going to get that from people that don't realize the alternative, because the stories I've been told from people that have had this happen to them, in year 30, your premium doesn't go up a little bit; it goes up multiples.
Based on risk. Yep.
And so, in the end, we're trying to prevent leaks, keep the fund solvent, and keep people in business.
Thank you. Didn't have to beep you on anything.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Anybody else?
For the record, Mike Rude, president of the North Dakota Petroleum Marketers Association. We've all been in hearings where people have reiterated what somebody else has already said, so I'll simply stand here and say, me too. We've had a lot of discussions about the stuff that Matt shared with you during our board meetings over the course of a few years now, and I think he's exactly in the right spot. I think ASTs, feeding retail, are a huge concern for this fund. I think the whole issue with the large reserve that was spent on the site that's still operating, basically the same kind of equipment, is a huge issue as well. And I stand in total support of taking a hard look at what that fee structure is at this point, because if a guy has to go on the open market and look for private insurance with a 30-year-old tank, you're looking at anything from $1,500 to $5,000 a tank. So I think we need to take a hard look at what that number needs to be. And like Matt says, I know there's going to be some heartburn out there with a few of our members, but it's time we do this right for the solvency of that fund, because they're going to come back after the fact and say, well, why didn't you tell me this was going to cost me $5,000 a tank? If we didn't do something, the fund went broke. So I think you guys are on the right path. I think a lot of the points that Matt made are things, like I said, that we've discussed at our board meetings, and I think our association is very comfortable with moving forward if you take some of those best management practices that he's talking about into consideration.
Thank you.
You bet.
Anybody else would like to provide comment? We have such a huge crowd here, so there's only a few people left. Or anybody would like to get back up again and provide comment? Yes, nobody. Well, with that, I think we'll close the hearing. Thank you all for coming. All the information gathered at this hearing will be provided to the department, which is the decision-making body. The record will be opened. We held open for written comment until February 18th, 2020. So if something does come up that you feel wasn't addressed here or something new, feel free to provide written comment. At this point, I will close the hearing on the proposed new North Dakota Administrative Code, Article 33.1-12, Petroleum Tank Lease Compensation Fund, and Chapter 33.1-12-01, General Fund Provisions. The time is 11:06 a.m. on February 6th. Thank you all for coming. Thank you.